Thank you so much, Pastor Jim. I bring greetings from Uganda. Your fellow brethren, they convey their greetings to you, and they know exactly that I'm here today. I came here to attend the men's conference, which we are having between, I think, Fort Worth and Dallas. Some of you remember Edwin Lewis Cole, died, but his son is still pushing the ministry ahead. But I said after that, I have to go and meet my brothers and my co-workers, and I'm so happy to be here today. Well, as Pastor said, I was supposed to come with my wife and even my daughter, Olivia, but both of them were denied a visa, which was a very big disappointment to them, because I wanted them to meet you and to meet other brothers in this country. But I believe in God's timing. You can't stop God. In His timing, is going to make everything possible. But they convey their greetings, and they love you all. And most of all, I'm here to thank you for coming to Uganda. My sister and all the team that previously came to Uganda, we really enjoyed your time there. And what a blessing of the ministry that we received when you came, and seminars and churches and the champions. And I don't think you guys, you know, the impact you bring to the body of Christ when you come to Uganda. But I'm here to let you know that your coming is not a wastage of time. It's not in vain. When you come, you leave us inspired. You leave us challenged to reach other fellows and people like me and the others who have ever been in this country. We know that someone to leave America and come to Africa. And sometimes we go deep in interior areas where I always say, Lord, is this a good thing to take our brothers there? So when you leave, we are always left with a challenge to go to many other places on islands and other interior areas because of your example of leaving your beautiful country and come to Africa, third world country. And that makes us to say that we have to go everywhere we can meet people in Africa. And God has really blessed us with that kind of idea. And I'm here to thank you so much. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for loving Africa. Thank you for supporting our champion. We have 458 now together. And many of them, they are now mature. I mean, they have grown up. They are in high classes. We have many who are graduating this coming year. And in matter of fact, in my house, I have three who have been residing in my house. They are going to go out now because they are done with their school. Like Jennifer, the one who came from Guru. She was, remember that one, she really came from a very depressed area where many, many young ladies were so sexually abused. And one of them was Jennifer. But now she's ending up being a very good person. I mean, she loves the people. She gave all those people. And I believe that God is going to use her the rest of her life. We have Annette and Mary. Those are daughters of my brothers who died long ago. They are now also completing their studies and they are going to start working. So I'm so excited to see that happening. And the champions, they have just done their final exams last week. Those were in grade 7. That is a very big, important grade in Uganda and Africa, because that's when they first do the national exams together. But our school, ever since we started, they have never failed. those exams. And for your information, they always pass in first division. And we believe even this time when the results come back, we believe we are going to be champions. And we have others who are soon graduating, like the brother of Dennis. He's called Paul. And Deborah Hunt, Reno and Deborah Hunt sponsored that one for years. But he's becoming a doctor this coming year. And many others who are like Dennis. Dennis is also completing his school. And Dennis is one of the young men kidnapped by the rebels, and his work was to carry the rebels a small chair everywhere they went in the bush for 1.5 years. But after 1.5 years, he escaped from there, and he came back. I think you remember the story I told you about him, that it took him about 2.5 to 3 weeks to get back to town. And when the government soldiers saw him, they thought they were ambushed. So they opened up fire, and the bullet went in his hand and it stayed somewhere here. So anyway, he pleaded for mercy. I'm running from there. I don't like it anymore there. I'm coming home. Don't kill me.
Yeah.
So he was taken to the hospital. They removed the bullet. And when I heard that story, I was compelled to take him as my son. So I've been with him for many, many years. And now he's completing his studies. And he's going to start work. And when we go up, when I go up in the northern part of Uganda, he's always my interpreter. I can speak my vernacular and he speaks their language. I can speak English and he interprets. He's very fluent in English. So I'm so excited to see what God is doing after a long journey of taking care of these kids, and I'm becoming a good father. I mean a big father. As they call me Big Daddy. But anyway, it's always good to see the fruits of your labor. And as Pastor Jim said here, that no one has to take the credit. No, it is the Lord's work. I mean, God is the one who actually causes us to do what we are doing. And he perfects that work through us. And I want to thank you. Without you guys, I don't think we would do what we are doing. Especially this time when our country is like resurrecting from the dead. So thank you for running for our rescue. And I believe that the Lord, our Savior, is going to bless each one of you. Keep us in your prayers, because we are standing there for the cause of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we believe for sure that God called us there. He never called us somewhere else, but he called us to stand in our country in such a time as this, where God is doing an incredible work of reviving the whole country, of calling many to himself, and changing our country for better. We are now soon electing our leaders this coming year, the president, but the local and other offices are going on now. They are electing them. And we believe that God will uphold our country in his hands. We don't want to go back in the pit. We don't want to go back in those dictatorship regimes. We know where we went in the pit, but we don't want to go back there. And we don't want our children to face the same. And we want to break the cycle, because it has been like that. I was born in 1959, but since 1966, our country has been going through civil war one after the other, until this time. For us to see the good time of electing our leaders, democratic government, is during this regime. So some of the young men, they say, okay, we will need changes. We want to see changes. But for us who have been there, we don't know the kind of change we might get. So just pray for us as we face this time of the elections, so that God may help us to continue to preach the gospel, continue living there in peacefully and in stability country. And I'm here to witness that God is the one doing the work in our country. I have a lot, but I don't have that much time. I have to find out what is what. I want to tell you everything in details. But anyway, just recently I went to Botswana. I was invited and sent to Botswana. Botswana is another small country in Africa with the population of 2 million people. That is a very small population comparing to my country of almost 35 million people. So Botswana is a country that is going through a very terrible situation. They have never been with a civil war. I mean, they have stability, they have peace. But AIDS epidemic is on a high level. I mean, 37% of the people dying of AIDS. So they wanted us to go for their rescue, I mean, to let them know how we eliminated the rate of people dying in Uganda. And actually, after speaking to them for three days, and one day, one Sunday in one of the churches there, they welcomed us to go back in February. They are going to bring together the churches from all over, and they want to sit and study. So pray for us, because we have to go there like 5 times. That's when we shall complete the curriculum. And we believe that God, who came for our rescue in Uganda, is going to do the same in Botswana. Yeah. This was a very good time, because the top leaders, they are the one who first wanted to hear before they open up for their people. So we had the military personnel and the judges, and we had ministers like the Minister of Education and bishops and church leaders. And we had a wonderful time of like 250 people for 3 days, and there were two of us, and actually we saw the hunger and the willingness of the hunger and the willingness to study the Word of God, and they really concluded that that is now the answer to their problems in their country. So right after that, after 2 days speaking to them, after 2 days, I recognized that they were not only in Botswana. There are some people who came from Namibia, the leaders of churches from Namibia, from Zimbabwe, from Ethiopia, from South Africa, and from Lusaka, Zambia. All of them, they want us to go and teach them what we have been teaching in our country. So we realize that we have a big burden there. But we want God, we want your prayers, so that maybe Africa will shine and shout for joy.
Hallelujah.
Because of the levers of life that God is soon opening up in Africa. And not only that, but we have a fellowship in our country, which is consisted with now 46,000 churches, where I'm one of the 24 elders. And in fact, I was going to come here with Alex, one of the elders now. He was the chairman for 8 years. But the guy who actually organized the men's conference, he had other plans for him. That's why he didn't come here. But we go around the country and meet the district overseers and regional overseers for consecration services, and teaching them and addressing them. And it's very exciting to see the big revival in our country. Some people, they may not see it, but you need to come and see it, especially when you come during December, the last day of the year and the first day of the following year. That's what the country has set up those 2 days for, being a national days of prayer and fasting. So we spend all the nights in the soccer stadium and cry to God, repenting of what we have done in the going year, and then dedicating our country in the hands of God in the coming year. So that is very exciting to see how God cried to God, and see how God really touched many of them, turning their hearts to God and praising and worship and repenting. And that makes me to think that God, you loved us. God loved Uganda. And I believe sooner or later something significant is going to spray all around Africa. So we need much of your prayers there. Today, I came with some pictures, but I don't think we have any means of showing them here, of the restroom. I mean, I have to try to talk about this, Pastor. Yeah. This was a miracle. Like 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago, I was on my bed in the middle of the night, and I dreamed of Pastor Jim, and he was asking me what is happening, what is going on in the ministry. Then when I woke up, I talked to Sarah and I said, Sarah, I dreamed Pastor Jim, and he was asking me what is going on here. And he said, okay, let's pray for him and pray. Well, maybe there he might think of coming back. And okay, or maybe there's a team coming. Oh, we prayed a little bit. Then 2 days after that, when I was reading my emails, I saw his email. And he was asking me what is going on. What are the needs in the ministry with the champions? I was very surprised. And when I saw that to Sarah, we both raised up our hands and we said, God, you are God. So that's when we sent him the needs we had in our home and school of the champions. And then they decided to help us complete the restroom, which we needed so badly at school. And here, thank you so much, Pastor Jim. And I thank God who really works miraculously between us. I'm not somebody I'm not good in asking money. In other words, I'm not good in fundraising, but I wonder how God overlaps and meet the needs of his people. Talking about the orphans, I mean the champions, God is the father to the orphans and the husband to the widows. I'm the true witness of this after seeing how God always intervenes and meet the needs of the children. Our children, they have never gone without food. We had 20 at the beginning, and then the number went to 50. When it came to 100 children, I said, Lord, no more kids. no more kids from today. But something happened that really caused me to change my idea. This was a lady, she came with a young lady, and she told me that God told her to bring that kid to me, and I'm the father. Yeah, you are now the father. And she was not a believer. And I said, how comes? This lady said that I'm the father here. Her husband had died like 3 years ago. And I said, Mom, okay, we can let your kid join the classes, but she's not going to be listed among the orphans until God speaks to me. Well, she said, okay, it's all right. 4 days later, she died. And there was no way I was going to to reject this kid. And things like that has been happening and happening and happening until now, when we have 458 kids. But I tell you what, God has always been good. He has been providing. I don't mean that we don't go down on our knees. And sometimes we have sleepless nights. But what we have learned is to cast out the burdens of the ministry or the work to him. And he always goes to answer our prayers. But God has been so good. It's not an easy work to take care of that big number. But God is God. We are housing them. And we are feeding them. We are growing our own food. Now we have enough food for three months. That means that next year we are bringing in 35 other kids from other places, because God told us to take this ministry to another level, whereby we go not according to. We didn't just bring in any kid because she's an orphan or he's an orphan. But now we are going according to the tribes in the country, because we realize that Uganda, all the civil wars that we have been having is from the tribalism. That is a very bad spirit which has been taking us back, in circles of problems over the years. So now what we do, we go and we get kids from tribes around our country. And so far we have more than 20 tribes. No, we have 18 tribes. But this time we are going to get more, 12 or 13 tribes, three kids from each tribe. So, because every tribe, they speak their own language. They have their own culture and traditions. But what we have realized that God always overlaps our tribalism, our tribes, cultures, and traditions, and bring his people together. And by doing that, we see that we are putting down the wall of tribalism, because we are growing people who are loving one another. And we teach them that our God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't discriminate. He loves all people. He loves all languages and tribes. He loves that. And since we are his children, we have to bear the same mind. We have to be children that don't discriminate each other and love one another. And we see that we are having a group of people that growing, loving one another, and when they grow up and go back to their respective areas, we shall have disciples all over the country. And we shall have somebody who has friends around the country instead of having enemies. And we see that actually that is going to help our country. Because I'm not the only one doing that. When I shared that to my mentor, Alex, he also started to do the same thing. So in the near future, we shall have no problem with tribalism. Because for me, when I was growing up, my parents, they used to tell me that the people from the north, they are our enemies. They can kill you and eat you. So I grew up with that idea. I never wanted to socialize or to come along with anybody coming from the north. Anybody who has a name begin with O. No. Ochola, Odoko, Adoy. When I hear that, that was enough to distance myself from him or from her. And I thank God when I gave my life to Christ. And Alex organized a crusade and seminar there. I didn't just go there to see people getting saved, but I wanted to see the place where these people who kill and eat somebody come from. So, but when we went there, it was a different story. These are the people who gave us a wonderful hospitality. They fed us and they loved us. And I realized later that they are human like us. I mean, they are good people. And I say, this is a lie. I mean, it's a deception from hell. And when time came, when God opened up for us to get kids from the north, I said, Lord, we have to put down this barrier. We have to put this down, this wall. And I realized that even themselves, they were told the same thing. So that we are enemies and we have stolen all the riches of the country. The people from the central region, they are very rich. They have this, they have cows, they have that, which belonged to everybody. They took they had grudges and a deception. They were deceived the same way. But now, thank God, that is eliminating all those barriers, and we are having people are growing together with the spirit of the whole country. And I believe that Uganda will never be the same again. Amen. But I want to thank you so much for standing with us and taking your time to come over there. And I'm here to say, come again. Pastor Jim, you can, even if you don't come, send somebody. Let him come, and we shall take care of them, and we shall join our hands and advance the kingdom of God there. Yeah, when Pastor Jim told me that I can share here, God gave me a message and reminded me something that I have learned over the years. So let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you so much for another opportunity you have given me here to stand and share and talk to your precious people washed by your precious blood. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to yourself. Thank you, Father, for every good work that you're doing in our lives, Lord, for today and for tomorrow. We bless your holy name, Father, today, that you have brought us together to worship and to hear from you. Let this brief message, Lord, be meaningful to in our lives, Father. And I ask you, God, the Holy Spirit, to quicken it in our spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was very surprised this morning when we were coming here. We started talking in the car and walking to this place with Pastor Jim. And it happened that he started talking about my message. And I said, Pastor, stop there. That is the message that God has put on my heart. So there is a scripture in the Bible which says that out of two witnesses, let every word be established. So this morning I want to talk about stewardship. In Psalms 24, verse 1, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. So, yesterday, that scripture, I believe the Holy Spirit pressed it on my heart very strongly to know that everything we are going through, everything we have, and everything we may have now and in the future, it doesn't come to God by surprise. God planned, the Bible says that God foreplanned everything for us. Everything is in place. Everything was planned by God. Where you are going to be born, the parents, where you are going to be growing up, everything is not to God is not for coincidence. He planned everything. That's why some time back I was talking to people, and I said that if there is anything that you can't change, you better be proud of it and thank God for it. And after that, God is going to prove to you the uniqueness behind it. For example, it is very hard to change the parents. Your parents, they are your parents. You can't just complain over them. It's good to be thankful to God for your parents, for whatever small or big things they did for you, and more especially your mother who went in the labor ward and bring you in the world. You can't change that. Whichever way you try to deny it or to change it, it will never change. Being black or white, I can't change that. I'm a black guy. And I have to be proud of it. And thank God who planned that for me. Yeah. And ever since I started doing that, I realized the uniqueness of being black and the plan that God had for me. And why I was born in Africa, why I was born in Uganda particularly. So I don't regret. I'm thankful. And I'm proud of my God who made that to pass. The height. I'm a tall guy. I can't change that. There are some short tribe in Uganda. They come from the mountains called Rwenzori near Congo. They are very short. In fact, we have three of them at the champion's home. And the young girl, she's almost 13, but she's like, you can't tell. And one time I took the little kids to the amusement park, and they were only allowing kids from 5 to 9 years, but this one was 13. But you could not tell that she's of that age, so there was no problem. She was registered. But when she started operating those swings and those machines there, one of those people came to me and he said, "Are you sure that young girl is 9? I didn't want to deceive. I just said, "Mom, leave my kid alone." But when you go to their place, some of them, they live on top of the branches of that mountain. They are very strong. They grow up, they grow their food there in the mountains, and they bring them down in the markets, and they buy whatever stuff they want and take them back to their place. So they put everything on their back. But when they start going up on the mountains, even if you don't have anything you are carrying, you can't go after them. They are very, very quick climbing up. And they enjoy that place. They love it. And they are, when you visit their churches, you see they don't want to stay or to go anywhere else. They enjoy their place. And they love one another. They can't change it. They have to be proud of it. And God always reveals the secret behind. Think about the tall people. The tall guys now, they are very good in basketball and other sports somehow, somewhere. Think of all the tall guys in Ethiopia and Kenya. They are very good in math and they can rerun. So God foreplanned everything and he put everything in place for our good. So the earth and the earth is the Lord's and everything thereof. And when God brought us in this world, we are stewards of what God has already planned. So, brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful when we are walking or serving God in our time. As I started God is the one who causes us to triumph. God is the one who is doing his work in us. This has become true when I started serving God. I started serving God with my strength, with my effort. I did that. And actually, there was little accomplishment there, but I didn't care. And until maybe after 3 years in my pastoral work, that's when I realized that the thing is not going to work out good for me. Because I didn't see the good results I was aiming. I didn't see it. And I thought that maybe I'm not a pastor. I better stop pastoring, go back to my business, make money, and support pastors. Because I had known how difficult it was to be a full-time pastor in Uganda that time. Anyway, long story short, I did accordingly. I went back to my business, but I didn't get any customer for almost 2 months. No one came to give us business. No one at all. And that's when I came up with an idea of asking my fellow workers, the people who are working for me, that instead of going for lunch, let us pray so that God may bring customers to us. So we prayed for about 15 days and trying to see how I cut this short. The first lady came. I thought she was going to give us business, but she just wanted to join us in prayers. And didn't like that. I said, no, ma'am, we are praying for our business. She had to come back again tomorrow and said, you guys, if you pray for me, I think God might heal my heart. I've been suffering from this heart problem for 8 years. So I made a very simple, I read some few scriptures of deliverance and make simple prayer. And I said, ma'am, give us time. But the next day she came back happy. She said, I've never slept like this. That's how the church started. I mean, though we have gone through a lot, but here we are. God started from nowhere. This was not my effort. Let me just say this. I was a failure in everything. I was a failure. In my home, because as I told you that I got married to Sarah. This is now the 35 years since we have been together. But I was not intending to stay with her for long, because she seemed to be very expensive to me. I just wanted to get a baby from her. And then right after that, I was not ready to stay with her. I was a failure in the ministry, as I've told you, in the church. I was a failure in business. I was a failure in everything. And I realized that God intended it to put me down on ground to make sure that I didn't get I don't be proud of myself to say that me, myself, and I have done and accomplished this. And that was a very good lesson. It was a very good experience to start with the Lord. Because everything that I can be proud of now, I'm proud of my God. God, he has really confirmed that he's the one planned and accomplishing and doing the work with us, through us, and for us. Amen. And for us. I thank God for my family, because God has given me a very good family. Someone who never once thought of being married and stay together with somebody. God gave us 5 beautiful girls, and they are all of the Lord. Going to school in Africa is very expensive. They have already finished their school. And I tell you what, 2 months ago, we have adopted another son by the name of Jonathan Bukenya Jr. And we dedicated him to the Lord, and very many pastors came to participate and pray for Jonathan, because we decided to have a son amongst the 5 girls. And we believe that God, the same God, is going to help us to grow up this man, this young man, as a man of God, strong, and we believe that he's going to serve God in his time. But I was not expected to have a family, but God has been good to me. Through all those civil wars and difficult times, God has always put my family together up to this time, where they have become a blessing to the kingdom of God, because each one of them is serving God in his way. Not only that, even other kids of my brothers who died of AIDS, I never knew that I'll be actually growing them up. But now we have only 2, John and Eddie. John Eddie is completing his college as a teacher in education this coming year, and John the next year. And when you see how they love God and how God is using them in the schools, witnessing Christ and getting many others saved, to me, I just raise up my hands and I say, Lord, thank you for planning this. My brother died. My brother died when he had 8, and another one he had 3 of them. But this one of had 8. He was still a young man. But I thank God he died, because I don't know how many kids he would have this time. Because it's almost 18 years since he's dead, but he had 8 already. Anyway, I thank God. But the reason why I'm telling all this is to tell you that we are stewards of God. I believe anyone in the in this planet, if he comes to discover that mystery, that we are just stewards of God, is going to live a very good, successful life, because God is looking for somebody who is going to say, Lord, not me, but you, Lord. God is looking for people who are not going to be proud of themselves, but those who are going to give God the glory. Somebody was teaching one time, he was talking about money, and he said that God says, touch gold, but never touch the glory. God wants to receive the glory in everything accomplished, in every successful work, in business, and everywhere else. We are stewards of God, beginning from our body. I remember where the Bible says that our bodies are temples of God, where he dwells by his spirit. We are stewards of our family. My wife is a daughter of God, and I have to bear that in mind and to think twice before I do anything, because I'm a steward of God as I walk with his daughter. I have to be very careful to know that I'm serving God when I'm with, when I serve Sarah. In other words, I'm serving God. The Bible talks about our children. Our children, they are heritage of God. And the Bible says that they are gifts from God. And when you read Malachi, the Bible says that God intended to get an offspring that will fear him and serve him. We are stewards of God. with our children. And if we know that and accept it and serve God that way, we are going to see the good fruits and we are going to enjoy seeing what God is doing himself amongst the people we are serving in. The church, the ministry, the anointing, the callings, and the gifts we have. We are just stewards of the anointing that God has put on our lives. Stewards. There's no way we can take the credit. There's no way we can say, me, I have done this. Once we do that, that indicates or means that we are very blind. We don't know what God is doing. And I remember one time the Bible talks about Samuel, that he was serving God under Eli's ministry, and yet he didn't know God. But thank God that in his fullness of time he called him and he knew that, oh, there is a living God somewhere. But it's good to know that we are stewards of the ministry that God has entrusted in our hands. All the provisions that God gives us, we are stewards of the provisions. And what I've realized, brothers and sisters, faithfulness is one of the things that is God look at. Let me put it this way. That when once we know that God owns everything and we are just servants and stewards of him, we have to make sure that we build a strong relationship with him, because everything belongs to him. If you want to be well with your master, you have to build a relationship with him. So, but the basis of relationship is faithfulness. To be faithful to what God has to the way we use or we handle what God has entrusted in our hands is very, very important. We are not here to praise people, but we are here to praise God, our Master. And I remember when Jesus said, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said that he mentioned something that let thy kingdom come and thy will be done. We are here to make sure that we please God by doing his will. By doing his will. Knowing that we are stewards. And we have to be faithful stewards in order to build a long relationship with him. God owns everything. And God has put everything in place already here in this world. There is nothing that is not there. I remember one time Pastor Jim was preaching in Uganda, and he mentioned something profound that I'll never forget. He said that in every problem, there is an alternative. To God, there is an alternative. We can think that we have come to the wall or to the end of the world, but to God, still there is an alternative. That was proven to be true when God was walking or taking the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan land, because everything was there. Whichever situation they faced, God had the answer. One time, I was surprised when he asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? The answer was already in his hands. But Moses didn't know that at all. And he told him to use the staff. Use that what you have. And that has become true in my ministry, in everything we do in Uganda. You use what you have. And let God surprise you. God is God of surprises and miracles. You do this little thing, and God expands it this way. I just wanted to take care of few kids, very few. And I say, that will be okay. But now we have 458 kids. When you ask me how we do that, I don't have enough words to explain the details. I just sum up by telling you that God is a powerful God. He has everything in plenty. That's why I stopped being worried of God's work. Because one time God surprised me. In fact, he surprised me one time. This was a time when we had only 2 bags of corn flour, 100 kilograms each bag. And our kids, by that time, were eating 1 bag, a full bag a day. And after 2 bags, I didn't have any alternative. I didn't have any money. And I told Sarah, you know, Sarah, I'm going to go in debt. I have to look for someone to lend me some money. I can't see and I can't afford to see my kids going without food. Sarah said, you know what? Why don't we give God time and see what he's going to do? I said, at this point, I don't have that faith. I don't have that faith. He said, we have 2 days. Let us see what God can do in 2 days. Okay. I waited for 1 day. The next day, my mentor called me, Alex, and he said, Joel, I have a visitor here. Do you mind if I send her to see the champions? I said, no, I don't mind. She came around and loved the kids and went around the dormitories and classes and prayer garden. And when she was leaving, she said, I feel God is telling me to leave something small here. She signed a check for us with many zeros behind it to be able to feed our kids for 1 month and some extra money to grow more food on our land for the children. God is an awesome God. And from that time, I said, Lord, I will never be worried again. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to listen to you. Because you have the answer in every situation. And God has been so faithful. And he has been so wonderful in the way he causes his work to triumph. I have so many testimonies that can prove to you that God, once he's on your side, is going to do everything accordingly. The first is Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible talks about the faithfulness of God. That God is faithful to fulfill the work that is started in us. Every work that God begins is going to lead it to its completion. And he's going to grow it up, he's going to expand it, and he's going to use the ordinary for extraordinary work. God is faithful, and he's looking for faithful people. For faithful people. And the Bible says that if we are faithful in the little, he's going to entrust a lot to us. I've seen that to be true. The more we are faithful with the little, the more God expands our territories, expands our ministry, expands. In other words, the more we are humble in utilizing what God has given us in a faithful way, God always receives the glory. And we can always say that we decrease that he may increase. And you remember the story of the talents that three different people were given different amount of money to use. One was given five, another one three, another one. But when the owner came back to find out what happened, he was not looking for how big, but he was looking for how faithful was these people, how they utilized what they were given. There is one who just buried it, never wanted to utilize it. And he said, you reap what you didn't sow. And when he came back, looked at him and he said, you are unfaithful servant. You didn't utilize what I gave you. Let even what you have be taken away from you and given to the other one who was faithful to utilize what I gave him. We are here to serve God. We are here to be stewards of God. And God is the one who leads the increase. If we want the increase in business, let us do business God's way. Let us look in the scriptures and see what God wants us to do. If we want good family, let us look in the scriptures and do and lead our families God's way. If we are to do anything every day, now I'm 56. Allow me to tell you this. I'm 56. Some of you may think, oh, he's still a young man, like my brother here. But in Africa, I'm not a young man. In Africa, you are going to find about three groups. Those who are too old. Recently, we buried somebody who was 117. But from that old age to us of 50s, there is nothing between there. Oh, that generation is gone. We are consumed, and many died of AIDS and civil wars. Anyway, I'm 56. And the Bible compels us, I think it is Psalms 90. The Bible says that we have to learn to count our days. And somewhere in the Bible it says that the time of mankind is 70 years or 80. Now, if we are to count our days, we don't count what we have already got. We have to get what we have, like me, 56, and deduct it from 70. I have only 14 years to live. But you know what I said? I said, Lord, let the rest of my days, of my time, be productive in thy kingdom. Help me every single day, Lord, to be faithful with what you have entrusted in my hand. And let me use the opportunity of the time I still have in this world. Just recently, we buried a very good man of God. He was I was 3 months older than him, and I preached on his funeral. About 35 people got saved, and I said, Lord, if someone of younger than me is gone home, what about me? Let the rest of my days be productive in thy kingdom. And my point is this. If we want to be productive in the kingdom of God, the rest of our time is to bear in mind that we are stewards of God. Everything we own It's of God. We are just steward of it. God is the owner. Let us count our days by looking into what we are doing, how we live our lives in our time, how we relate to others, how we end up the day. And always my prayer has been like this. God, help me this morning. Help me to score the daily goals of life. And help me to get to my destination successfully. Because in every day there is something good that God has planned for us. The Bible says that each day has got its own events. Things that God has planned for us. And on the other side, there is something bad. Every day, there is something good and there is something bad. But let God open up our eyes and see the good opportunity, the good things that God has planned for us in each and every single day. That's how we are going to be productive in the kingdom of God. If you don't see the goodness of the Lord in the day, you are going to witness the bad thing. And when you focus on the bad things in the day, you are going to end up your life complaining, murmuring, and live a distressed life. But David said, Lord, this one thing I pray, so that my eyes may see the goodness of the Lord. In every day there is an opportunity. In every day there is a ministry. In every day there is something to accomplish in the kingdom. In every day there is something God wants us to do. And if God opens up our eyes and see, and humbly encounter that good thing, we shall be productive in the kingdom of God, and we shall leave a very good name when we are gone. And the Bible says that the good name is more precious than gold and silver. We shall leave a very good name behind it. I count myself dead. And when it comes, my champions, I'm dead. I'm dead. Because I see the future of Uganda in the champions we are taking care of. God has already revealed that to me. God has already opened up my eyes, and I see the future of Uganda in the lives of the champions. I see leaders of different capacities. I see pastors. I see strong men and women of God. I see them in the near future, within the next 15 to 20 years. I see that. Because one time, let me wind up with this. Because one time I got a dream. And this dream was like this. Here is the youth, the young men and women from all walks of life. Big number, multitude. They are holding a torch. Each one was holding a torch in his hand. And not only that, but they had to take this torch across the nations, the borders. And they were content for their faith to go and take it. And nothing could stop them. Not even the borders barrier, not even their denominations, not even their background, not even their color. They were ready to take it across the nations. And they were marching so majestically and singing a song, I Know. And that song goes like this. God has got an army marching through the land. The reverence is their soul with healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. In this army I got a part. But they were not singing like like me. I mean, they were singing like angels, very nicely. And I said, Lord, though I'm beyond that age, I want to be part of it. Then I came out of the dream. But because of the good singing, I wanted to hear that again. I went back to sleep to see whether I would get back. But it never came back to me. But everywhere I go, I hear people sing. I hear good music. I hear different types in Africa, in East Africa. The Ugandans, they beat all the three countries in singing. But in Africa, the Zulus in South Africa, they beat everybody. But I've never heard anybody singing like that group. They were singing like angels. I believe that my champions, they are among the team that God is going to use these last days to cause his kingdom, or to take the word of God, the message of hope and healing across the nations. I believe that. I don't have any doubt with that. That's why I say that I'm dead. I mean, as far as my kids are concerned, I'm dead. I've put so many people in prison. Those who are trying to joke with me, to play games with my daughters, and because I'm protecting what I know that is very important. What we have not accomplished, this team is going to accomplish it. They are going to hold the glory of our country, the banner of salvation, and they are going to take the healing across the nations. They are among the team, and I'm a steward of that. And I'm here to thank you so much for backing up what we are doing and what God is doing in Uganda. And I wind up by inviting you to come back anytime God opens up for you to come. But remember that no matter where you are, you are a steward of God. You can do something every day that God opens up and bring in your heart. And the only way you can see that is to know that you're a steward and always inquire from him. That means that we have to be on our knees to seize the godly opportunities every day. I was talking to Pastor Jim yesterday, and he said something I can't tell you, but I told him that I always take 2 hours on my knees every day. And compared to what I see, I think that's very little time for me. But that's the only time I have. The rest of the time I have to do this, be here and be here and there and there. But I have to make sure that every day I have to inquire from him. And my prayer is that, Lord, open up my eyes. Open up my spiritual eyes to see the good you have for me in this day. Help me, Lord, to humble myself and to be a very good steward of what you have entrusted in my hands, in my time. Because I tried my own effort, nothing good happened until God, when you intervened and start things your way. I think I told you guys that even salvation, I was going to kill somebody who tried to witness Christ to me. But God, his way, he came to me and he got me saved. In every good thing, I was far away. But God, through his way, his kindness and his loving kindness, he brought me to himself and he said, let me show you that I'm the one owning everything in the whole world. Even coming here to me, you guys, you don't know. For us, we read scriptures where the Bible says that God will make us to sit with princes and sit with... For us to come to America, that's big to us. Don't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. And when I come here, I didn't know whom to find. And one time I was praying and I said, Lord, are you going to give me somebody, a rich man like Tiger Woods with a big account so that we would be able to advance and change this country? But one time God spoke to me and he really humbled me. He said, no, not every rich man is given the opportunity of sharing in what I'm doing in my kingdom. But it's not going to take one man. It's going to take the kingdom. So coming here, and I find people, I find the way how God bring people in our lives to cause his work to triumph, that humbles me. And that dream, Pastor, humbled me. And thank you so much for the funds, because now the restroom, it's almost done. And we shall not have any problem with the government, district leaders, those so-called inspectors who are just looking for mistakes and they don't mind about the future of the country. Sometimes even they talk about closing. We are going to close this project if that restroom is not in place. You have to do this, you have to do this. And I say, this is the future of the country. Why do you just give rules? Where is the power? Where is the money? Bring the money and we'll work together for the cause of this, of the future of the country. They are not there. And I count them blind. And I thank God that he opened up our eyes. The ordinary people, not with anything, not with money, no good background. My father died when I was 8. Nothing. He opened up our eyes and we can see. The God himself, not the government of Uganda, not the rich people in Uganda. In Uganda, we have rich people. Some of them, they are owning jets. They are owning big factories and big companies. But they can't see. They can't use what they have for redemption of our country. That's why I say it. God chooses his own people for his own cause. And the only cause of advancing his kingdom. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for in such time as this, you have given us an opportunity to know the work of the cross, the sacrifice given. Thank you for purchasing us back to yourself. Thank you, Lord. For we are no longer strangers, heathens, but we are children of thy family and the fellow heir of Jesus Christ in thy kingdom. And again, we thank you for revealing the mysteries of thy kingdom to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the work you are doing, that no money can stop, that no money can do, but only you, Lord, you do it for your glory. And for the purpose of your kingdom. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for Pastor Jim and Pastor David. And all my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together for the work of the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for those who have taken their time to come down to Africa. And thank you, Lord, for those who have really supported the work in always financially, praying and wishing and mission trips one after the other. Never hesitated when you spoke to them to come, Lord. They always come. And when they come, we always witness the changes and the good results of their trips. Father, I'm here to stand before you and before them to thank you. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them. And ask you, Lord, to open our eyes again. Open our eyes widely to see the harvest. For you say that the harvests are ready, but the laborers are few. But Lord, help us. Make us to be among the few to be used for the work of the harvest, Father, for the cause of the kingdom work. I pray for their families. I pray for the works, whatever they touch, their hands, Father. I know that you are sufficient enough to meet all the needs of thy people. I pray that you meet their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.